In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Dom Mariani of The Stems is my guest today. He's a main creative force in a number of Perth, Australia-based bands, including Datura 4, DM3, and The Majestic Kelp. But his first group is The Stems, who were active originally in the 80s and then on and off again since then. Their latest single is Falling from the Sky. It's a recent coolest song in the world, and we'll hear a tad of it now, followed by my talk with Dom on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. With you in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and my guest for our coolest conversations is Dom Mariani, Australian singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer. He's based in Perth, Australia, over on the west end of the country. We feature a number of his bands here in the Underground Garage, including Datura 4, DM3, and The Majestic Kelp. Today, however, we're focusing on The Stems, active originally back in the 80s and on and off again since then. Back now with a new single, Falling from the Sky, which is this week's coolest song in the world. How are you, Dom?
I'm doing great, Manfred.
So last time we chatted, it was back in 2022. That's around the time of a Datura 4 release, Neanderthal Jam. And I saw a thing online about this year, The Stems having a 40th anniversary. Is that right? Are you 40 years old with The Stems?
That's correct. Yeah, that's from our first gig. Yeah.
Well, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
Did that prompt the new single?
Not really. We had a tour that we wanted to do. I guess we hadn't played for a while. 2019 was the last time we actually toured. We'd done one show in that period from then till now, and we'd been talking about doing a tour of Australia mainly. But of course, the pandemic came along and knocked those ideas on the head. But yeah, this year, I guess it coincided with the 40th anniversary where everyone was available. And we didn't really think about recording any new material at the time. We thought, well, we'll do this tour, we'll do some Australian dates. And then we started talking about a new release, and a live album came to mind. So we had some material recorded from previous concert that we mixed and put that onto a vinyl, and available also digitally. But then the idea of a new single, I came up with the idea. I said, look, you know, it'd be great to have something new. I've got a few songs, have a listen to them, see what you think, guys. If you like one or two of them, you know, we can maybe record them. And they all kind of agreed. I thought that was a pretty good idea. So we sort of went into the studio, I guess, in separate cities, as you can do these days, and Dave and I put the initial bed down. It was just guitar and drums. Then we sent it across to Melbourne, and Julian and Ashley put their parts down, and then came back to Perth, and I did the vocals, and we mixed it in Perth. And there we have a new single, which turned out really well. I think it sort of harks back to the earlier sort of fuzz tones of the early single. So yeah, we're really chuffed, and it's something that, you know, wasn't really thought about it when we were thinking about doing the tour, but the idea came about just through sort of, hey, let's do something new.
Well, my liner notes about it say it was Julian Matthews on bass and backing vocals, Dave Shaw on drums, Ashley Naylor on guitar and backing vocals. And I'm going to talk about Ashley in a moment, but the other two guys, Julian and Dave, longtime Stems members. Can you remind us how you met those guys and how the band formed?
Yeah, well, back in 83, actually, was when the band first rehearsed. It was the idea of myself putting together a band based on sort of, I guess, 60s garage music at the time. Didn't know how it was going to shape up. And one of the original members who did pass away a few years ago, Richard Lane, was the other member that I convinced to form the band with. And then Gary Chambers was the original drummer. We had a bass player by the name of John Shuttleworth back then. But John sort of left fairly early in the piece and was replaced by Julian. Julian was a friend of Richard's. He came along pretty much fresh out of high school, really. He was quite young. And he came along, and I looked at him and I thought, oh, not sure about this guy. He doesn't look the part, but he could really play. So that was the clincher. He'd learnt all the songs that we had been playing up till that date. And so we thought, well, this guy knows all the parts. All he's got to do is just grow his hair long now and he'll be fine. And Gary Chambers was the original drummer on the first few singles and the EP that we released on Citadel Records, and he was with us till the end of 85. He was replaced by Dave Shaw, who was in a band called the Skinny Jims prior to the Stems, who were more of a rockabilly-style band. We always liked Dave's playing. I knew Dave quite well and asked him to join. And that was pretty much the lineup, which was myself, Richard Lane, Dave Shaw, and Julian Matthews. That carried on until we, I guess, broke up at the end of 87. And then I guess it was quite a few years before we got back together. It's like 10-year hiatus that we had. Promoters kind of, I guess, calling us saying, "Hey, you got to get the band back together. We're offering us all this money and tours and stuff," but I wasn't really in that frame of mind. The way that band ended for me at the time wasn't a great experience, so I really wasn't sort of wanting to revisit it in any way. And I had a couple of other things going on, which was the Some Loves and then DM3. But give it 10 years and, you know, I guess things settled a bit, and I guess the time was right to do a reunion. And that was in 97. And from there, we basically just come back from, you know, time to time. It wasn't until 2003 that we decided to take it a little bit more seriously again and actually put the band back together and do shows and tour Europe and Japan and even the US. So, yeah, that's kind of how the band has kept going in a way. 40 years is, I guess, from the time that the band played its first show, which was with the band called The Saints, which you probably know, a fairly famous band, and the Triffids, who are from our hometown. So that was a very, I guess, auspicious debut for us. And from that point on, it looked pretty good. You know, the people that came to see us play really enjoyed it. And we just kept doing local shows, and the popularity grew. In that period in the 80s, and we ended up recording a bunch of stuff and a debut album, which made the mainstream charts in Australia. So yeah, we broke up at the height of a fairly popular run. You know, we were at the height of I guess that 60s revival in a way at the time, and also it cracked the mainstream. So we were quite a popular band in Australia, but we couldn't keep it together at the time through various problems like managerial and internal friction that, you know, things like that happen in bands. But, you know, since then, I guess we're older and wiser and, you know, we really do enjoy playing in the stems these days. We've got to do a whole bunch of touring, some additional recording, and the band's popularity seems to have really it's maintained, I guess, and got more popularity as some kind of legendary status going on with us now, which is really cool.
Let me ask you about Ashley for a moment here. So Ashley Naylor, as a singer-songwriter, he's had success on his own in Australia with his band Even. How did he come to be part of the Stems?
Oh, well, Ashley, we've known for quite a few years, like through the band Even, basically. My brother introduced me to Ashley, or would have been in the sort of late 90s or mid to late 90s, and I would go and see them play. I really liked the band and became quite friendly with Ash. And it was in 2003 when the band came back together to do some serious touring that his band Even supported the Stems. We did some shows in Melbourne together, and I think also in Sydney at the time. And over the years, we've kept basically in touch and become very good friends. And it wasn't until 2010 that the Stems were offered a European tour, and Richard wasn't into the idea. So we asked Ashley if he'd like to step in and play guitar and sing. And I guess from that, we've basically been doing it ever since. We've had Ashley fill in for us, as well as another guy by the name of Davey Lane, who plays in You Am I. When Ashley can't do it or is not available, we've been getting Davey Lane to sort of fill that spot. But Ashley's pretty much the main. I guess he's the fourth member now. He's done all the recent stuff. Yeah, he's done all the recent stuff.
The new guy's been in there for since 2010.
Yeah, he has.
Well, so the single, our coolest song in the world this week, Falling from the Sky, out on Cheer Squad Record and Tapes. And I think Abroad, it's on Folk Records too.
That's correct, yes. It's come out in Spain as well.
So you mentioned having some songs and sort of running this past the other guys to see what would work with the Stems the best. Well, when did you write Falling from the Sky?
It's about 5 years old, that song. Had been playing it in De Chura 4, totally in a different feel and style, I guess. It has a lot more, I guess the organ plays a fairly big part in the version that De Chura 4 have been playing. But I'd written that song pretty much with the Stems in mind. So I guess 2019, when we did our last a lot of touring, I had that song, and I thought, well, we're going to be going back to do more touring in Europe and do more shows in Australia, so maybe, you know, we should have some new material out, and that's pretty much how it happened. And that song was always there, and then because we hadn't played those ideas of touring had sort of gone out the window through the pandemic period. I guess I started playing that with De Chura 4 because we were still playing local shows. I guess I just wanted to get that song, wanted to play it basically live. But I always felt that song was a stem song. And when Dave and I started jamming on it before we recorded it, really brought it back into shape for the band. Obviously, Dave's got a certain way of playing the groove, and that really locked that whole song together. And then the fuzz guitar idea was also his. He said, look, you know, why don't you, you know, use your fuzz on this and we'll give it a real kind of, you know, sort of garage sort of sound to it. So I guess that's how that song sort of came about. And lyrically, I sort of had like a Dylan idea for it. You know, the song is very much a cynical look at, you know, growing older and just, you know, life in general. And so it worked well. You know, we surprised ourselves, I guess, when it finally came together.
When you went into the studio then, this was the only new song you recorded, or did you record anything else?
No, it was the only one that we did. I had a couple that I ran by Dave, I guess. I said, look, I've got this one, I've got that one, but I think this one is the one. There's a couple more that are sort of sitting, I guess, in the can that we possibly may explore later on. But just through time constraints and, you know, the tour was coming up and we thought, well, you know, these days, you know, we don't really need to do an album as such. We can just have a single and put it out there through, you know, various streaming services and stuff like that, and that would be a great way to go. But then the idea of putting it onto a 7-inch came up, and we did that as well, and we used a live track, one of the tracks from a live album, as the B-side.
And so mentioning about a newer album, is that a possibility at some point, or is that not something you want to pursue now?
I don't know, Manfred. You know, we could be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. We're kind of excited about the way things have been going. I must say, we've just done a tour of Spain and Italy and an Australian tour, which was huge. Sold out shows, and sold out shows here. Just wrapped up here in Italy. We did a festival called Wild Things, which was amazing. So you know, we're thinking, yeah, we can do an album. And Julie and I were sort of sitting in the back of the bus talking about, you know, doing a couple of songs maybe every couple of months or so, and then compiling those onto an album. So we don't know. At the moment, we're letting the dust settle, I suppose, from the tour. And
well, tell me some about this tour. I know you were playing both in Spain and you mentioned Italy. What is your – do you have a favorite European country to tour in?
I like them all, actually, but I guess Spain, if we're going to talk – but the favourite, yeah, we've been playing Spain quite a bit, and I've been there with various bands myself. There seems to be something about Spain. They really love the rock and roll, and you know, it's a great opportunity there to play lots of shows, and very enthusiastic fans. So there definitely is a very vibrant scene for the music that we play.
I agree with you 100% there. In fact, the only thing I would add to that, my experiences over there is, gosh, the eating sure is good, you know?
Of course, the food is also great.
Do you have, you know, we will eat over there and it's like, oh, everything I'm putting in my mouth is so great. And I don't know whether, you know, it's also a function of playing shows every night and having to get up, you know, early and drive to the next place. So I cannot recall the name of the things that I'm eating. And so I don't know what I'm eating, but it is all so great.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, the next time I'm back, it's sort of like, oh yeah, now this one is called this or that. But, you know, 2 weeks later, I was like, what was that? That was so good.
Yeah. Well,
do you have any favorite dishes?
Favorite dishes there. I like seafood a lot myself. So when I get up to, you know, the sort of north of Spain there, like, you know, your San Sebastian's and your Bilbao, they have very nice seafood. Ashley is a vegetarian, so he loves a tortilla. He'll get stuck into the tortillas. And the guys love their jamon and, you know, their manchego cheese and stuff. And of course, Italy, you know, has great pasta and
right.
Just, you know, they get the food down pretty well.
Well, one thing I thought was interesting is, like, I've enjoyed paella before, or a lot, and we would be someplace, let's say, in Madrid, and there's a restaurant, and they would have paella, and somebody in the band would say, oh, let's have the paella, and our host or whatever, like, no, you know, no, this is not the place for paella. You're not allowed to eat it here. We will go, you know, to Valencia, and there we will eat the paella, because that is where it's greatest. And so that's actually, you know, this it's really fun to me. The regional differences where, you know, they're all very, you know, have a great loyalty to the cuisine of that area. And then when you go to those places, the promoters or whatever are like, you know, you please, this is the food of the region. This is the greatest food ever. So please try it. And I do. And it's lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're dead right. We've had those conversations for sure. You know, you must have paella in Valencia, and don't have it in Madrid. That's a common one.
So I saw on a, I think it was a tour poster or maybe it was a photo online. You played with Sid Griffin from the Long Riders on the tour. Was, did they play multiple shows or one show, or was it just hanging out?
Just the one show in Bilbao. And I think originally Peter Case was going to be part of that as well, but he pulled out. But Sid, yeah, he was on before us, and I'd never met Sid before. Obviously, I know Sid's history, and I was a Long Riders fan. It was nice to finally meet him, a nice guy.
And so you just got to hang out basically that one evening with him there in Bilbao.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he was being toured by another friend of ours, Juancho Lopez. I don't know if you know Juancho.
Yes, I do. Juancho has got a great, I think, record store these days, but know him as primarily a bass player, and he would drive us around sometimes as a tour, as a road manager.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And he ties into the greater Little Steven universe by virtue of Steven has a label, Wicked Cool Records, and Juancho was playing with Kurt Baker and is on several Kurt Baker albums. Are you familiar with Kurt?
Yes, I know Kurt's stuff. Yeah, I've never met Kurt, but I know of Kurt.
Yeah. So again, you know, the world is small, but the rock and roll world is even tinier.
Yeah. So true.
I saw also a photo from the tour where you were playing sax. So did you play sax before you played guitar?
Well, Manfred, That's just a fallacy. That's just the photo, the trick photography there. Like I'm actually in a pose on stage, and the photo's been taken in such a position from wherever it was. You know, it's a fair distance away. It looks like I'm actually playing a sax, but if you look closely, I think it's a combination of the guitar and I think Dave's arm forms a shape that looks like a saxophone. And someone pointed it out to me when they, you know, this photo was up there, and they says, hey, you know, you look like you're playing the sax. And I looked it up, and yeah, it does. So I cheekily put it up on social media and just saying, oh, you know, haven't played sax for quite a while, I thought I'd pull out the old sax for this show. And yeah, a lot of people got the joke, obviously, but then some people thought that I was actually that I actually played sax. So,
well, you know, we've spoken before, and I don't remember that ever coming up. I thought, well, does he play sax? Because, you know, I didn't realize that Van Morrison, you know, played sax before he played guitar. That he was doing, and I was like, really? But so I thought, well, I don't know, maybe Don was playing sax.
Well, I know Baron Morrison plays the sax. I know that, but no, I don't play the sax. No, but if you have a look at the photo closely, you'll see it's not the sax, but it does look like the sax from if you quick you look at it, you know, sort of quickly. So yeah, I guess I was playing a little bit of a joke on people there.
So we mentioned, or you brought up the Datura 4 and this tune, our coolest song, you know, being played out by those guys. What is going on these days with Datura 4?
Yeah, well, obviously, it's we're having a break while I'm doing this Stems tour. But yeah, when I get back to Perth, I've on a couple of weeks holiday here in Italy. And when I get back, I guess we'll reconvene. And we've been recording a new album. And that's about, I guess, two-thirds of the way through now. And hopefully that will be finished sort of January, February, I guess. And we'll have a new album out next year. So that's the next thing. And the Stems have a few other things coming up as well. So they're the two bands that seem to be taking up my time at the moment. But, yeah, Datura 4, we started recording that new album sort of early in the year, and it was sort of slowly been chipping away at that. But the Stems 40th anniversary tour sort of gotten in the way a bit, so we've had to just take a bit of a break from that for a while. We're doing a show in December, actually, with the Hoodoo Gurus, a local show, so that should be fun.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And you say local show, so that means Perth then?
Yeah, they're doing, I think they're in the US at the moment, I think. They've been doing a massive tour of the Americas. I think they went to South America first, and now they're touring the US, and then they'll be back in Australia sort of promoting the Stone Age Romeos, anniversary of the Stone Age Romeos album, the first album. So They're doing 4 shows, I think, in Perth. So we're on one of those, date you're a 4.
Wow, that'll be great. You mentioned that the new single's B-side, a live version, it's the song, a live version of Get to Know Me. And the studio version of that is on your 2007 album, Heads Up. What was this about, a live album that you guys had recorded? Did the live album already come out at some point?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. the live album, again, was a little bit of a fluke in that, we talked about doing this tour and we thought we need something to promote. So the live album was the first thing that we thought of. We said, look, we've got this recording. We thought, well, we had some really old recordings from the 80s that we thought we might put onto vinyl because they'd come out on CD previously. But what had happened in 2018 was we did a anniversary tour for the At First Sight album. And we played a show in Adelaide at a place called The Gov. And there was a band that was supporting us called The Garden Path. I don't know if you've heard of those guys. They were also from the 80s, so kind of like a psychedelic sort of band. And they were opening act for that particular show. And the guy who is in that band, Vic Conrad's a lead singer, came to me after the show had a few weeks after the show had finished. He sent me an email and said, hey, we recorded our band at that particular show, and we actually recorded you guys as well. Like the guy manning the desk recorded your show. Would you like a copy? I said, yeah, why not? You know, send it across. So he sent a thumb drive of all the multi-track was recorded on Pro Tools. And I didn't listen to it, actually, I must admit. I got it in the mail and I just put it in the drawer. And every now and then I'd open the drawer up and I'd see it and I'd go, oh, yeah, there's that live thing that Vic sent. I wonder what it's like. But never listened to it. And anyway, fast forward the conversation in that prior to this tour being organised, we thought, well, you know, we should have something out there. I've got a live album. I've got this thing, Jules. What do you think? Let's have a listen to it. If it's any good, we'll take some tracks from that and release a live album. So I got it transferred and we had a listen to it, and it was great. And like we didn't know it was being recorded. That's the crazy thing about it. I guess in a way we let it all hang out when we were playing that show, and we weren't, I guess, intimidated or self-conscious about the fact that if you knew you were being recorded, you might be sort of thinking, I better be playing the right chords or singing the right words. But we had no idea it was being recorded. And then when we listened back to it, it's just really unhinged and really, really rocking. Just the band in full flight, having a great time. And so we pulled, I think, 8 tracks from that and mixed them down. Didn't fix anything at all, just as it was. It's obviously got a lot of bleed in the microphone, so it's quite raucous. And, you know, it's just a great live representation of what the band is. You know, the recordings are always of a sound. You know, you can never – well, personally, I just think you go into a recording studio, it's a totally different animal. And you try your best to try and recreate that song the best way that you've been hearing it in your head. And sometimes it turns out like you think it is or close to, or sometimes it turns out totally different. But this live recording is basically us playing live, you know, just captured, you know, in the moment. And it really does show the band for what it is. And I'm really proud of it, actually. I think it's probably the best thing that I've heard from, you know, for live albums for a while.
And the track Get to Know Me, what was it about that live version of the song that, you know, was like, oh yeah, we want to make this the B-side to the single?
Yeah, it really, it opens up the album and it just, yeah, it just flies out, you know, everything hanging out. It's just, it's great. I'm sort of just letting it all hang loose, you know, vocally, guitar wise, everything is just, like a lot of the stems material, like we do have, you know, songs that are obviously structured, but we do like to jam and we like to sort of have fun with the songs. You know, some songs will have solos, I guess, but they're never the same every night, you know, and plus the way the banter and the, you know, the way I might sing, much to the guys, it's chagrin is that they I tend to sort of push songs out sometimes and you know, they're waiting for me to sort of round it up, but I just keep pumping it out. So yeah, in the excitement of the moment, you know.
Right. Well, Dom, thank you so much for joining me on today's Coolest Conversations.
Always a pleasure, Manfred.
We're going to go have a listen now to that live version of Get to Know Me. It's the Stems here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.